if I had passed out and been taken to the hospital in the past few seconds, that might have been okay with me. Good morning. I've got important shoes to fill this morning, and I'm nervous about it. This morning we're talking about Christians and social media. The internet has revolutionized the way we live, work, and socialize. It's now possible to communicate in real time with anyone around the globe. In effect, it has made the world a very, very small place. What once was limited to a small number of college students, now nearly 60% of Americans have at least one account on a social networking site. Over 2 billion people in the world use social media. Facebook, the most important, says they have 1.8 billion active users. My lesson text this morning comes from social media articles from OceansideChurchOfChrist.net, OGChurchOfChrist.org, ChurchOfChristTucson.org, and MontaVistaCoc.com. And if you are interested in any of that, I can give you the specifics. Before we look at a few things that deal directly with social media, let's make sure we are all on the same page with some universal biblical truths. There's a little song, and it says, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see." What we look at, or what we allow to occupy our time, it influences us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So, if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light." Job 31, verse 1, he says, "I have made a covenant with my eyes." And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, says, "We should think on these things. And one of them is whatever is lovely." The kind of light that fills our rooms, our houses, our character, is let in through the eyes. The next line says, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear." Going back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, the direction is purity of mind. To dwell on these things, we need to be careful not to allow other things that would take away from that. That includes things we hear. Words are the most important thing we have, be it written or in spoken form. The next little line of that song is, "Be careful, little mouth, what you say." James chapter 3, verse 8 says, "But no human being can tame the tongue." This is perhaps the hardest and most personal of the three principles. This is not about how much I post or how much I engage with social media. It's about recognizing that because I have the freedom to do so, is that what I should do? Colossians 4, verse 6, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt." Remember, if you're not saying it in person, why are you typing it online? And is it, if it does not build up or edify, do I really need to say it? There's a court show that I've watched many times, Judge Miliani, I'm butchering the name, I'm afraid. She says, "Say it, forget it, write it, regret it." Now, don't hear me say it, forget it. You know how it is. But social media is things written, and regret it. You will. You can. Let me put it that way. We should be very concerned about our influence, whether it's through personal interaction with others or through social media. The Lord's work consists of influencing people in God's direction. Colossians 1, verse 28, we read, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." Influence comes down to communication, verbal, nonverbal. But this includes our online communication. Any tool has its job. My torch, My hammer contributes to constructing a Bible when properly used. Otherwise, they lead to burns and purple thumbs. Likewise, there are dangers in social media. This is because Satan is lurking behind every corner trying to destroy us. Satan's always on top of the latest trends, it seems like. Luke 4, verse 14, we read, "When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time." Online, unfortunately, is a very opportune time to strike at all of us. First danger, gossip. Unfortunately, many have confused the clothesline for Facebook, and they air their laundry there. It can be easy to participate in information that is none of our business. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A whisper separates close friends." Also in Proverbs 21, chapter 21, verse 23, basically warns us, keep your mouth and tongue to keep you out of trouble. Second danger, false doctrine. It can be easy to just share anything Bible-related, but we need to be careful with this. False doctrine can be anywhere and everywhere. That Bible talk you shared very well may be just an excerpt from some larger talk that is spreading falsehood. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15 says, Satan is disguised as an angel of light. And 1 John 4, verse 1, John writes, many false prophets have gone out into the world. A third danger is spreading strife among our brethren. Sometimes something is said or done, and it is proclaimed to the four corners of the earth over every platform before it gets to the person it needs to be taken. Look what God had to say about spreading strife in Proverbs 6, verse 18. Of the things God hates is a heart that devises wicked plans, and feet that run to evil. It can be tempting to spread a message to a friend or make a post, but that temptation is planted there for an evil purpose too often. Now that list right there is enough to make a person say, social media, I'm not going to do it. Or, ha, I told you, there's no good. But there are good benefits to social media. There are good benefits to that hammer I was talking about earlier. First benefit, we can evangelize the truth. Jesus in the Great Commission told us to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, verse 9. We have liberty as to how to spread the gospel. The only thing we cannot change is the gospel. When people see our profile, what we post, what do they see? If you were to turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 20, it says, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. Is that what others see? Do others see Jesus in you when you are on Facebook or any of the others? We can reach people now that we could only dream about in previous generations. We can engage in meaningful Bible discussion and even evangelize the lost. Truly, this is a good use of social media. Second benefit, encourage your brethren. With so much online, you inevitably learn more about individuals. Sometimes more than you really wanted to learn. However, many times it's not. You learn who is hurting, who has a need, who could use some encouragement. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works. This world needs a lot of encouraging right now, a lot of encouraging people. And speaking of encouragement, how small this world has become, I received happy birthday wishes yesterday from many of you, from people in Missouri, Arkansas, and from all over Oklahoma, and from India. Paul Ringenathan sent me a happy birthday through Facebook yesterday. That's amazing. Who can say less? Third benefit. Salt and light. The main aim of social media is to express yourself. This gives us the opportunity to be salt and light on the earth, shine our light brighter and further than ever before. And I'm going to go there. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Jesus is talking about throwing us out if we lose our saltiness. Going on. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light," and I got three fingers pointing back at myself here, don't forget that, "shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Now, Jesus doesn't recommend we shine. Jesus is commanding us to shine in this fashion. We are lights set apart from the world to light the world. To show others the path out of darkness, our light ought to represent everything by the things we say, do, and post. Finally, last verse, that little song, "Be careful, little hands, what you do." Social media can eat up our influence. Our life as Christians is influence. That's our purpose. That's our commission. Social media can eat up our time. It's limited and it's precious. There's a song I enjoy listening to. It says, "One day you're 6 and take a nap, then you're 23 and you're on your own," just like that. Influence and time are precious things to guard carefully. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. They've always been that way, but it seems these days they're really evil, right? That comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Dallas read a big chunk of that. Jesus illustrates the importance of self-examination with the story of a man with a beam in his eye trying to help someone with a splinter. Paul wrote, "I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 27. I must be talking fast because when I practiced it, it took several more minutes. If you feel it's time to become a Christian, the baptistry is ready. I won't speak to the temperature, but it is ready. If you feel like you've misused your Christian influence in some fashion, we can pray with you and begin to set it right. If you fall under either one of those headings, please come forward this morning as we stand to sing.